tiny space together. It wouldn't be easy, but how could I have said no to her coming to stay? There was a tentative knock at the door, and I pulled it open. "Hi, Beth," I said, giving her my warmest smile. She looked like a wreck, poor thing, exhausted and pale, her eyes red and puffy from crying, and just one bag clutched to her chest. "Thanks so much for this, Emily," she said, walking in when I stepped back to let her through. I closed the door behind us, and she let her bag drop to the floor as she took in her new surroundings. "It's so good to see you," I said, pulling her into a quick, tight hug. It had been 6 years since we had last seen each other, after I'd left our hometown of Glendale, nestled in the Scottish Highlands, and moved with my parents down to London. "Have a seat. You must be exhausted. How was your journey down?" I asked, wondering if that was a stupid question. I had no idea how she had the strength to walk out of her family home, the grand Glendale Hall, and make the long journey down to Brixton, all alone like she had. I thought of the frantic phone call I'd received from my Aunt Sally, housekeeper at Glendale Hall, asking me if I could help. Beth was devastated that her family didn't want to support her, but she was determined to make it on her own. And when my aunt asked if she could stay with me until she could get herself sorted, I had naturally said yes. "Pretty tiring," she admitted, "but I made it." Her eyes were wide, but she looked relieved. It struck me how much more grown up she seemed since we had last met. But I supposed with everything that had happened to her, that was only natural. At 16, she was 4 years younger than me, but didn't seem it. I couldn't begin to imagine what she had gone through. "I'm sorry, it's so small. I did tell my aunt to warn you, but this pulls out into a bed," I said, patting the edge of the sofa where I hovered. "So it'll be fine. It's college accommodation, and they allow friends to stay over, but obviously not long term, so we need to be careful." I realised I was babbling a little, like I always did when nervous. I glanced at her arms folded in her lap, covering her stomach. "How about we have some tea and cake?" I asked, knowing that always made me feel better. "I just baked it," I added, walking over to the open-plan kitchen. She visibly brightened. "I never say no to cake. I remember how much you loved to cook, just like Sally." "Baking, mostly. I'm going to own my own bakery one day," I said, pulling out a cake knife and reaching for the lemon drizzle that filled the flat with a yummy scent. I glanced at Beth. She looked as if she needed a big slice. "It'll be okay, you know," I said then softly. "I promise." "I hope so," she replied. "I won't have to stay for too long." "You can stay for as long as you need," I replied as I cut two slices for us. "Don't worry, okay? The hard part is over. You're here." My aunt had said that Beth's grandmother had been furious with her, that the argument they had had forced Beth to run away. I knew Beth's family weren't easy. They expected a lot from Beth, and she had always rebelled against them. But even I had been surprised that they had turned against her so fiercely. It felt old-fashioned to me. But then, my family weren't pillars of the community like the Williams family were up in Glendale. All I knew was that I was happy to help Beth as much as I could. Not just for my aunt's sake, who loved her like family, or for our childhood friendship, when I would often go to the hall and play with her while Aunt Sally worked, but because it was the right thing to do. I wanted a family of my own one day, so I understood why she had gone against her family's wishes. I might have even done the same thing.